Well, I appreciate your good singing tonight, and we hope to continue our worship as we open up the scriptures together. We're working through a study in 1 Peter. I invite you to open up your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 4. And we will actually be continuing, in a sense, a message that we began last time. And I say in a sense, and I hope that'll be more clear in just a little bit. We began last time in 1 Peter chapter 4. And we looked at verses 7, 8, and 9 tonight. We're going to be focusing on verses 10 and 11, but before we get into that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence, and we pray as an act of worship that you would help us to honor you, that your Spirit would illumine our minds to the Word, and that we would not only understand it, but that by your grace, you would enable us to live it out in a way that brings you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I began last time with a picture that maybe you remember seeing of a person here with the big sign, "The end is near." And we might have different thoughts when you see somebody with, I think those were called sandwich boards. And is that a profitable thing to do? You know, I'm sure there's different opinions on that. But we do know that in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, Peter writes, "The end of all things is near." Now remember, Peter's writing to afflicted believers. He's writing to believers that are facing very hard times, that are facing challenges. And it's in light of the end times that Peter said, "I'm going to help you guys understand as Christians how to live in light of the end." And so we had a message last week, 1 Peter chapter 4, that had to do with living in light of the end. And I want to review those points that we covered last time. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, Peter talked about how we need to pray for one another. "The end of all things is near, therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer." And so we talked about the importance, especially when we're facing difficulties. By God's grace, we need to be praying for one another. And then he goes on in verse 8 and says, "Above all," and so this is obviously incredibly important, "keep fervent or stretched out in your love for one another." That's love, again, for other Christians, because love covers a multitude of sin. Verse 8. And then in verse 9, he makes the point, "be hospitable to one another." And we talked about that word, the idea of having a love for strangers, and how Christians traveling actually relied on that for their own survival. And then not only to do that, to be hospitable, but to be doing that by God's grace, verse 9, without complaint. Thank you, baby. And so here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, he then transitions, beginning in verse 10 into 11, to a fourth point that has to do with serving one another. And I'll now read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and verse 11. "As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So the fourth point in this paragraph that has to do with living in light of the end is that we need to serve one another. You see that in verse 10. "As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another." But notice the beginning of verse 10. He's talking about a special gift. He's talking about a spiritual gift. And then in the end of verse 10, he's talking about be a good steward of this grace that God has given you. And then in verse 11, Peter's talking about the different categories of gifts. There's speaking gifts and there's serving gifts and how we're supposed to glorify God through the use of these gifts. So what I thought we would do, rather than just calling the message tonight, "Living in Light of the End," perhaps part two, I want to really focus on what Peter says in verses 10 through 11 on serving one another. There's definitely an emphasis on spiritual gifts. I've called the message, "Your Spiritual Gift." And I'd like to work through something that I hope will encourage you, more than just a Bible study, but yet at the same time, something that will help us to, whether you're hearing this for the first time or maybe just reviewing what the Bible says about your spiritual gift. The very first thing I want us to consider tonight as we look at your spiritual gift, 1 Peter 4:10 through 11, is number one, you have received a spiritual gift. Peter makes that very clear in verse 10, as each one has received a special gift. And in the context there, he's talking about a spiritual gift. We know from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that that's true. I have verse 7 up. Notice, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. And in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, a manifestation of the Spirit is a spiritual gift. To each one, 1 Corinthians 12:7, is given a gift. Or if you prefer, in the passage we're in now, verse 10, 1 Peter 4, as each one has received a special gift, the Bible makes it very clear you have received a spiritual gift if you're a believer. Now, Peter also makes it clear in verse 10 that you've not only received a special gift, but notice he says, employed in serving one another, we'll come back to that, end of verse 10, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. How do we get this gift? It's a manifestation of God's grace. It's through the manifold grace of God that every Christian has been given a gift. And so we want to make sure we understand the importance of this. You don't earn spiritual gifts. You certainly don't deserve a spiritual gift. It's not like, okay, that I'm going to work really, really hard and get a gift, and maybe my gift will be better than your gift or whatever. It's not that at all, because that wouldn't be God's grace. So no matter what gift you have, in a sense, you don't really have anything to do with it. But it's a manifestation of God's grace. And I think that's backed up by 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. I put it on the screen. One in the same Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, works all these things, distributing to each one, each person individually, just as he wills. God the Holy Spirit is administering a spiritual gift to every believer as he wills. And it's not the idea, again, that if you have a certain kind of gift, you're more important than the next person, or if you have maybe a more simple gift, you're less important than the next person. But the Bible makes it very clear each of these gifts is a manifestation of grace. So you have a gift. You're not really responsible for what gift you receive, but there is something you are responsible for, and that's in verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The Bible says that we are required as believers to be good stewards of the gifts that we received. So Peter's making it clear. You're a Christian. You have a gift. God's the one who decides what you have. Now make sure you're a good steward of this gift. And I think for most of us, that would immediately lead to a question. What does that mean? I mean, what does it mean to be a good steward of the spiritual gift that God's given us? And I think Peter addresses that. And that'll be our second point tonight. Number one, you've received a spiritual gift. Number two, you are to use your gift to serve other believers. I think that's right here in the text. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. That's other Christians. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The Bible makes it very clear that the purpose of your gift, it's not for you. God did not gift you for your benefit so that you can earn a greater income, even though perhaps it leads to income, so that you could promote your identity or your agenda or become more well-known. That's not why God gifted you. But God gifted you so that you would serve in context other believers. That's not saying it's wrong to serve unsaved people. That's not the point, but that's not what Peter says. Peter says the purpose of the gifts that we receive is that we would be willing to serve one another. It's talking about other Christians as good stewards of the manifestation, the manifold grace of God. Which takes me right back to 1 Corinthians 12:7, but I'll mention a separate point from this text. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. That's a spiritual gift in context. Why? For the common good. That's talking about the church. And that's why you have a gift. The Bible makes it very clear that the reason God gives us gifts is that we would do exactly what Jesus did. I read Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. That's why Jesus came, not to be served, but to serve. Why do we have a spiritual gift? Not for our benefit, but for the benefit of other believers, if you will, for the common good. Now, just think a little bit about how we think about church, and maybe this would be a helpful item to address. You know, most people, it would seem, most Christians now, we go and we visit different churches, and usually what's on my mind is how can you be a blessing to me? So if I have an infant, I want a church with an awesome nursery. If I have teens, I want a church with an awesome youth group. If I just enjoy music, I want a church with an awesome music ministry. I mean, let me tell you what you can do for me. Serve me. I think is the average thinking. We would never maybe say it that way. It seems kind of cold that way. In honesty, I think that's reality often. You know, I don't really like that church. It didn't meet my needs. I mean, I'm here and there's no one reaching out to me. I think I'll go somewhere else. That's pretty common. And I'm guessing you've heard that. And let's be frank, most of us have probably thought that. How many times have we, maybe you're looking for a new church home, you're in a new area, whatever the case might be, and we go to visit a church. Now, I'm not talking so much a building, a community of believers, regardless of where they meet. And my whole mind is walking in, Lord, I want to contribute to the common good. So how can I serve someone? Who is here that maybe I can serve? And I would never, ever, ever say I went to that church and no one said hi to me, because it never crossed my mind that people are supposed to say hi to me. I'd walk into a church thinking, oh, there's somebody who maybe looks kind of alone. I don't know. I can find out. Hey, how are you doing? My name's Greg. Never met you before. First time here. Can I sit with you? That would be contributing to the common good. That would be caring about other people the way Jesus did, in ways that are appropriate. I want to be careful. Typically, that's going to be same gender, right? I realize a guy doing that to a female is not best. And I realize there's other parameters we want to keep in mind related to age. As an older guy myself, I'm not going to walk up necessarily to somebody who's incredibly young and do that in a way that maybe would just not be best. We're praying that God gives us wisdom. But the point would still stand that God has gifted us. And the reason he's gifted us is to serve other believers, and that shouldn't be weird, because that's what Jesus did. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's why you have a spiritual gift. Let's go on and hit a third point here, 1 Peter chapter 4, and then we're going to take some questions towards the end. Now, I won't be asking you for questions, but I've anticipated a number of questions. So if you have some things going on in your mind, just hang in there, and hopefully right after this third point, we'll hit some questions, and maybe that'll clarify. Verse 11 says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. So there's a category of spiritual gift that has to do with speaking. And then Peter says, verse 11, whoever serves is to, there's a second category of spiritual gift that has to do with serving. It's to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That'll take us to our third point today. Number one, you've received a spiritual gift. Number two, use your gift to serve other believers. And number three, serving believers with your gift glorifies God. That's why we were given the gifts. Because God wants us to use our gifts in the context of a local church to contribute to the common good of an assembly in a way that's not based on our own strength. You see that in verse 11? It says, whoever serves us to do so is the one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So when, by God's grace, you take your spiritual gift and you come into the context of believers, local church, and you use your gift to serve other Christians, relying on God's strength, that brings glory to God. And all things are for God's glory. And that's what the scripture is teaching us. You know, we have a verse like 1 Corinthians 10:31 that I think many of us know by heart, and it's worth knowing by heart. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that's great, but what does that mean? Do everything to the glory of God. Obviously, that's a big idea, but here's one very specific application of how do we glorify God. Peter makes it clear in verse 11 that every time we take the spiritual gifts that we have and we come to God's people and we seek to what? We seek to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ, that glorifies God. And I don't have to just kind of hang back and say, do all to the glory of God, even though I'm not exactly sure what that means. At least in this context, I know what that means. It means serving other believers with your gifts in the context of a local church. So, a very simple question for all of us to ask ourselves. How is it going? How are you glorifying God? And it's not limited to this, but this is what the text is teaching us. One way you glorify God is by taking the gifts that you have and using them at Trinity Bible Church, and you would use them to serve other people. Because the Bible says that glorifies God. And that's what Peter's trying to help us understand. Now, I've anticipated questions, and I tried to think through the years of questions that, as I've addressed this in a classroom setting, my students have asked, and I've had people come and ask, and one of these we've addressed already, but I'm going to hit it anyway. Number one, do I have a spiritual gift? And the answer is yes, if you're a believer, you have a spiritual gift. And I know for some you might be thinking, but I don't know what it is, and how am I going to figure? Okay, take a breath. You have a gift. If God says you have a gift, you have a gift. You say, but I don't. If God says you have a gift, you have a gift. Is it limited to one? I don't think we have to limit it to one. I know if you're a believer in the gospel, based on this text of Scripture, verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 4, each one has received a gift. And we saw in 1 Corinthians 12 the same thing. you have at least one gift if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You say, okay, I took a breath, I was calm, now tell me how to find it. That's number two. Second question, how do I find my gift? Well, that's a really interesting question. The Bible never tells you to look for it. I have teaching on how to use my gift. We've already covered that. You use your gift to serve other believers in the context of the church to bring glory to God, but the Bible never tells you to find your gift. It's kind of like you saying to me, hey, Greg, here's how I want you to drive your truck. You say, how do I find my truck? The Bible just assumes you have a truck and you know what it is. I have no teaching in the Scripture telling me I'm supposed to find my gift. You say, okay, but I still want to know. So, Greg, tell me how. I have no teaching in the Scripture that tells me how to go about it. So anything I tell you would be life according to Greg, and probably not worth very much. I've gone to a seminar many years ago. The seminar was how to find your spiritual gift. It was interesting. We went through a study of allegedly, and I'll come back to this, allegedly all of the spiritual gifts. And then at the end, you're supposed to figure out your spiritual gift. And, you know, I hope you don't mind me just being honest. Everybody around me is figuring out their gift. And I'm going through this study thinking, well, Lord, if they're finding theirs, I guess I'm supposed to find mine. And so you just kind of look and go, well, I know it's not that, and I know it's not that. One of these, they know. If they know, I guess I should know. So you grab one, and you say, this is my gift. And life goes on. But the Bible never tells me that I'm supposed to look for my gift, let alone tell me how to find it. You say, okay, maybe we could just start with a list of the gifts and then prayerfully consider them. I think that's logical. It's also problematic. That's my third question. Guys, how many spiritual gifts are there? I don't know. I don't know how to know. I know Peter in this text says there's two categories of gifts. There's speaking gifts and there's serving gifts. You say, but how about like 1 Corinthians 12? Yeah, I went through verses 8 through 10 and I counted 9 gifts, but you know what? We're not clear which ones are still here. Because at least one of those gifts is speaking in languages you've never studied. And the best I know, that's not happening. Even though some would disagree with me. Even if we can agree on which gifts are still operable in this New Testament era that we live in, there is no claim in the Scripture that the gift lists are exhaustive. You could have an unlisted gift. How about that? Example. Wouldn't it seem that music is a spiritual gift? There are so many of you that are gifted musically in incredible ways. There are people that use music to bring glory to God. They use music to share the gospel. They use music to edify God's people. They use music to help with worship. You say, so music's my spiritual gift. Not if it has to be listed, because it's not listed as one. You say, are you allowed to have an unlisted gift? Sure, why not? The Bible never says these are all the gifts, so you have to have one of these. The Bible just says you have one and use it. So I don't even know that the lists that we have are exhaustive. I don't know how many gifts there are. And again, even with some, I'm not sure if they're still active today. You say, wow, now Greg, I'm really confused. I know I have a gift, even though I'm not told to find it and I wouldn't know how to look for it. I'm not sure how many there are. I do have lists in the passage before us, 1 Peter, as well as 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, as well as Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. You say, so Help me out and be practical. My fourth question. So what do I do? I've just come to this passage. Peter's telling me I have a gift. He's telling me how to use it to bring glory to God. So what do I do? And I think the answer is simple. Let's do what Peter said, by God's grace, we need to do. I tried to put it in words. I hope this will help. One sentence. Prayerfully consider opportunities in the church to glorify God by serving his people in a way that contributes to the common good. And if you do that, you are using your spiritual gift. I think you can use your gift and not even know what your gift is. If you would prayerfully consider opportunities in the church to glorify God by serving his people in a way that contributes to the common good. You say, what would that look like practically? I tried to think of an illustration of this, and as I thought of different ways, I'm thinking, I have to be careful because my goal would not to offend anyone, so I'll just use myself as an illustration. Maybe that'll help. There will be an announcement from time to time, we need help in the nursery. Well, I can't do that. I don't have the opportunity. One, we don't allow men to work in the nursery. And there's many reasons for that, all of which are good. Okay? So I don't qualify to work in the nursery. And obviously, if I were working in the nursery, I couldn't be opening up the scriptures tonight. But there are certain things I can do with babies. I love babies. And so even this week, one of the couples in our church, they were blessed with a little girl, their second child. And I had the joy of going and visiting them and rejoicing with them and praying with them. I can do that. You say, why would you do that? Well, I'm just prayerfully considering opportunities in the church to glorify God by serving his people in a way that contributes to the common good. I can visit a new baby. I can't work in the nursery. How about the choir? Many of you have voices, and you could sing in the choir. So question, would you prayerfully consider glorifying God by serving his people in a way that contributes to the good of Trinity Bible Church by joining the choir? You say, how about you? I can't do that, right? You say, why? Because I don't sing well. And some of you sing incredibly well, and you're so gifted musically, and you're using your gifts on the instruments and in different ways. You say, okay, get away from music. How about something else? All right, we're going through a restroom upgrade. And if you've been in the two main restrooms, you see that there's stuff going on. You say, Greg, are you in there mudding sheetrock? No, I've tried the mud sheetrock. It doesn't work. I finished the basement. I could hang sheetrock. That's not too hard. I tried to do the mud, and you know, after you apply mud and sand like 12 different times and it still doesn't look good, and the people who do it say, no, you should be able to just do it twice and it looks good, you realize I'm not gifted. You say, okay, how about crown molding? I've tried that too, and it doesn't work, okay? Square molding that's flat against the wall with straight cuts? Yeah. Once you start doing miter cuts on an angle, no. And yes, I have watched a YouTube video, and it did not help. So I figured out it's not my gift. You say, how about website design? Our website could be updated. I couldn't get my Bible to work. I came into the pulpit tonight just preaching off of my iPhone because I couldn't get my iPad to work. You say, what do? I just give it to Nancy. You say, what does she do? I don't know, but she fixes it, okay? You say, it's a good thing you're not in charge of website design. Yeah, and the same goes for IT security. We have people that are working on IT now as we talk about giving online and some other things. I don't know anything about that. You say, do you know anything? Yeah, I like kids and I like to play. Okay, you might think, do you really enjoy children? I do. They're on my level. And so yesterday, Nancy and I went shopping for playground equipment, and I thoroughly enjoyed it because we're putting new playground equipment up, and we're trying to get some quotes and settle in on some things, and somebody's ready to work on getting a piece of ground flat and maybe just a small retaining wall, and somebody else has priced off the fence, and you say, what are you doing? I'm the one with the help of an elder, another guy. We're going out, and we're looking at, okay, what kind of playground set should we have? And I have Nancy with me, and I needed to take an expert with me to see if he approved, so I took my grandson. And he was able to play. You say, how about counseling? Well, I can do a certain amount of that, and many of you help me with that. Hospital visitation, I could do a certain amount of that, and many of you help me with that. Prayer, we all can do that. Here's the point. Would you prayerfully consider opportunities in the church to glorify God by serving his people in a way that contributes to the common good? Because you have a spiritual gift. And even if you don't know what it is, and even if you don't know if it's on the list, because maybe it's not, there's one thing we know. God has gifted you for the purpose of serving other believers in the church for his glory. Put that all together, and what have we seen? Number one, you've received a spiritual gift. Two, you're to use your gift to serve other believers. And three, serving believers with your gift glorifies God. That's verse 10 and verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's plug it into the big context. How do we live in light of the end? Number one, pray for one another. Verse 7. Number two, love one another. Verse 8. Number three, be hospitable to one another. Verse 9. And number four, serve one another. Verses 10 through 11. I could just end the message right here, but I want to just bring the application a little bit more pointed to this idea of gifts in conclusion. Here's the point. It is God's will that you seek to, number one, serve one another, use one another's other Christians, using your gift, and number two, bring glory to him by doing it. You say, Greg, I'm kind of like not even at home. I worship the Trinity regularly, but it's not where I live, and so does this apply? Absolutely. We have students who regularly worship as part of the Trinity family, and they say, when I'm in Greenville, this is my church, and I want to serve. And we have some in the choir, and we have some in the nursery, and we have some that are ushering, and we have some that are helping in children's ministry. And that's both children's church, truth trackers. That's available. It doesn't have to be any one of those ways. But there's one thing I know. It is God's will that you seek to serve one another, your brothers and sisters in Christ, by using your gift, and that glorifies God. As believers, our desire is always to bring him glory. There's many ways to do that, but Peter's helped us to understand one. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.